I am like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on everything I earn. The other one, however, kept a distance, not even daring to look up to heaven. In real humility, all the tax collector said was, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Believe me, the tax collector went home from the temple right with God, while the Pharisee didn't. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. A story from our Holy Scriptures. Thanks be to God.
So today, as I said, is the first Sunday of Lent, the season of 40 days, minus Sundays, they aren't included, leading up to Easter. It is a journey, Lent, traditionally, of preparation, of doing the inner work that will prepare us for transformation, which is really the intention or the culmination of the journey towards Easter. Like a butterfly emerging from a cocoon or a new shoot of a plant coming up out of the bare soil, we prepare ourselves to come to Easter, open to what life might look like in us if we are open to transformation. So this year, we are engaging through the season a Lenten journey of transformation. But I want to start today with actually a little journey of imagination. And I'm going to invite you to imagine a scenario with me. You are welcome, if you want, to close your eyes and just go on the journey with me, or whatever you like, whatever is comfortable for you. Soften your gaze, look at the stained glass window, whatever you would like to do. So here's what I want to start with. Imagine a church building, any church building. Perhaps one where you grew up, or one that you've attended, or this one, any church building. And they're settling in for a Sunday morning service. Is this church for you small or large? Is it old or modern church? Do they have pews or do they have chairs? An organ, piano, worship band? Does the minister stand at the pulpit formally or on the floor? In this church, are there stained glass windows or banners or pictures around the church? Is the floor carpeted or wood or cement? How many people are there for worship on the Sunday morning? What does it look like this particular Sunday morning? What is taking place as people take their places and settle in? And then I want you to stretch your imagination just a little further, and I want you to imagine that the Holy Spirit of God is hovering over this congregation, just hovering over people, like the Spirit of God hovered over the earth at creation. The Holy Spirit is just moving around in this place. It's present to everyone. The Holy Spirit is aware of what's going on in people's hearts, extending grace and love to everyone who enters that space, listening in on internal conversations that are going on in people's hearts and minds as they sit there waiting for the worship to start. So you've got this sanctuary pictured. Now, imagine that there is one man sitting very near the front of the sanctuary. And he's with his family. He and his family attend this church faithfully, and they're well-liked by the community. Everybody looks up to him. He generously supports the work of the church, often taking on leadership roles in the church, and are a valued part of this community. As a man is sitting there waiting for the service to start, another man enters the back of the sanctuary and looks around for a place to sit. He's well-dressed and well put together, and he's on his own. And while he doesn't attend services at that church, nor any church often, he is well known by the community for being the local member of parliament and often is seen in the community and on the news. So he's caused a bit of a stir as he came into the sanctuary that day, and no one really greeted him. As he looks around for a place to sit, he spots a place very near the back of the sanctuary, and he moves to sit quietly down in that space. There's a lot of whispering going on now, and the man at the front turns around to see what's going on. And he spots this other man sitting in the back of the sanctuary, and he just turns around to face the front of the church again. And as they are both sitting there, the man at the front prays, "Oh God, I'm so glad that you've made me and not that man who just came in. I'm hardworking. I support my parents and my family. I attend church regularly. I tithe to the church. I donate to charities. I participate in my community. I'm glad to say that I am an ethical and honest man, a very good citizen. Not like that man who just came in, who takes hundreds of thousands of taxpayers' money, lives an opulent life, and does very little to make the world a better place. Thank you for making me, me." In the meantime, the man who came in at the back sits down, lowers his head, and says, "Oh God, I am so sorry. Please be kind to me. I'm not the man I could be." And immediately, something shifts in the room. The Holy Spirit kind of moves and moves to encircle the man at the back. And the man is suffused with light and warmth. And God says, "Blessed are you, my child, for I can work with you." Take a moment, open your eyes, come back to this space. Of course, this is a version of the story that Curtis just read about the Pharisee and the tax collector. The story itself turns upside down what Jesus' hearers would have heard and how we might hear the story today, and that was Jesus' point. Jesus was most likely speaking to a group of people who were very much like the faithful man who sat in the front of the sanctuary with his family. People who were upstanding citizens in the community. People who contributed to the community. But people who didn't think very kindly of the tax collector who made a living off of their hard work. So when Jesus said to this group of people he was telling the story to that the tax collector actually was the one who went home right with God, that would have made them at the very least annoyed, probably angry. For they were the people who thought they were the faithful, holy, chosen ones of God in a right relationship with God and would have thought that fellow at the back was to be despised. "Not so," says Jesus. "The ones who are right with God are not the perfect ones who looked perfect. They're the ones who recognize that they're not everything that they want to be and are in need of change, of forgiveness, and grace." In other words, those who are humble in heart. It's those that think they are just fine as they are and sense no real need for change that God can do very little with. And I want to be very clear about this. It's not that God loved each of them differently. God loves everybody equally. It's just that God can do so much more in the lives of people if they recognize need in their life and are open to rebirth and renewal. As we move toward Easter, the first step on this path toward rebirth, renewal, transformation is to recognize our own need, to dig deep within our souls and find that place of restlessness or frustration or longing in us, the place where our deepest desires are kept secret and our hope for change often does not dare to reveal itself. We're afraid. And yet this is a place where we will find the impetus for change in our own lives. It takes humility and honesty to go there. What we truly long for will never be found in the superficial or worldly desires that initially assail us, the cosmetic changes we would like to make in our lives, the money we'd like to make, or the world, you know, that we'd like to change. It's not about that. It's about us. What in us needs to change at a deep soul level? Our deepest longings will always honor God and the people that we are meant to be. I had a colleague who often said this, I think weekly, God loves us just the way we are and loves us too much to leave us there. God loves us just the way we are and loves us too much to leave us there. We are loved no matter what. And there's so much that God has for us if we're willing to look at ourselves and what we really need. As we take this journey through Lent, perhaps this week, this is what we're focusing on this week, you might consider really what it is you long for, deeply long for. Maybe take a few minutes a day to reflect on where you were restless that day or unhappy or longed for something else in your life. We won't know what this is until we explore our own souls. And I also want to say, of course, you don't have to do this. If you are content with where you are right now or want to take the journey another time, perfectly fine. That's the thing about God. God never forces us to do anything. God invites us. We are free to do whatever we want and go exactly where we want to, and God will love us just the same. If you want to explore these ideas further, that's what we're doing on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3. You're welcome to join us. Life really is a journey. Takes us to unimagined places. Sometimes the journey is hard and still so worth taking. So what do you long for? What do you really long for? Is this a Lenten journey you're willing to take in order to become more of the person you long to be? With a little humility and trust in God, perhaps this Easter, we will find out a little more what it is God wants for us. Let's take a moment for reflection.